What are some of the characteristics that they all have? They all are calm. I'm sure inside that guy is freaking out, but he's trained himself, or that gal, they've trained themselves to say, hey, look, this feels like crap and I don't like it. But at the same point, I got to keep my wits, because if I don't, I know I'll die. That's what a lot of leadership is really about.
Welcome back to View from Above with John Berger. I'm Garrett Lill. Thank you for joining us. John, you're trying to get your camera situated, and I'm trying to get this little piece of hair situated. I've been messing with this thing the whole time. I took a shower right before this thing, right? So that, and my hair hadn't quite dried before I put the gel in it. So it's you're going to get a lot of the brush back, I'm afraid, today. I'll minimize myself.
You get a lot from me, too. I'm going to brush it back.
Oh, man, good to see you again. So last time we met, let's see, what would that have been here? Let me find a calendar here. April 4th, I believe it was. It was right after.
2 days after Sheriff Tantrum. That's what we call it.
Sheriff Tantrum. There you go. Yeah, 2 days after that. So we've had a chance here to kind of digest a little bit. The market's recovered about a third of its losses, top to bottom, as I speak right now, April, 23rd. So it's, you know, we're sort of digesting the things just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that does give business owners kind of the opportunity to take a moment to breathe. Yeah, there you go. And start to figure out a sound strategy for how to navigate option A, or, you know, path A, path B, path C, wherever we may go from here. You just said a second ago, it was a great line, I wish we were recording, basically, that Trump's always going to be volatile. That's you're never going to be able to say, well, okay, now we know what Trump's going to do. You're never going to know what Trump's going to do. There's always going to be volatility there.
There's always going to be, lots of ambiguities, unknowns. When you think you've got the game figured out and you know what the playing field looks like, promise you he will change the playing field. It's that just how things work. And he's there he feels to make movement and make change happen. So that's part and parcel to this, the reality that we're in. But we do have a moment. We've had a pause. You're not in the freak out stage right now. We're not looking at huge losses day over day, which tends to feel fairly oppressive. We did get that one huge day that bounced back, and then we've been fading kind of pretty much since then. Keep trying to get above that. But it is a moment to understand what the playing field at least looks like a little better now. Dust has settled a little bit. We know where things are at the moment. And we can start thinking, right, well, what are the contingencies we may want to be a little bit more strategic about? So thoughts come to mind is like, what if we go below the lows that we had about 2 weeks ago? What if we go above the high we got right after that pop? But not quite 2 weeks ago as well. So what we do with that, with the markets, tariffs, I think as we talked about the last time we were here, it's like Trump is always going to be looking for off ramps, right? He'll never do a mea culpa. He'll never say he overplayed his hand. Frankly, I think he overplayed his hand with the tariffs. I think done some pretty significant damage to the dollar, pretty significant damage to dollar as a reserve currency. I'm not quite sure how that will all play out. Our trading partners have all decided that treasuries look like a good thing to be dumping. So that's one reason why treasuries are not really the risk off asset that they would normally be. And that does change the playing field. But the tariffs did get proposed. A lot of them are out there. Some have been rolled back or postponed. But the things that happened because the tariffs were proposed and we're going to start in 3 or 4 days or whatever, a lot of front loading has happened, right? People, even prior to the tariffs being announced on April Fool's Day, were front loading, trying to get product here from, you know, so it wouldn't be tariffed. So we have inventory rebuilds, inventory stocking, excess inventory stocking. And now they're going to have to figure out how they're going to get rid of that if the consumers don't want to buy it or whatever. So, you know, there's a lot of parts that are definitely in movement, but I think business owners can now start being a little bit more strategic about, all right, well, here's what's happened. Here's kind of what the lay of the land looks like. I really don't, personally, I don't think Donald Trump's going to go back and start saying, all right, you know what, we're going to go back to what we did on April Fool's Day. We're going to have 20% tariffs against everybody. And you know, he's just not. That off-ramp already has been used. We've seen some negotiations have happened. Or at least he's claiming we've had negotiations, which is his win, and that's his off-ramp. So I don't think we're going to see tariffs be added back to where they were on April 1st, but that doesn't mean the damage hasn't already been done and the markets may respond accordingly and the economy will respond accordingly.
Well, and I don't know if this story has anything really – at least not, it may not sound like it has anything directly to do with our conversation, but I think it somewhat does possibly. I don't know if you saw the video or the episode of Bill Maher talking about him going to the White House, and the you know, Kid Rock invited Bill Maher to the White House, and Bill Maher is obviously pretty anti-Trump historically, and he came back and kind of said, hey, you know, the person that you see publicly isn't the same person that I met. Now, it was far from an endorsement of Trump. I don't think it's no. I don't believe Bill Maher is flipping by any means. But at the same time, I think there is a point that I am trying to go for with that, in that there is public perception and then there's reality. And Trump is a gamesman of all gamesmen who is going to do what he has to do to get that perception. It may not be reality, but we have to kind of, you know, business owners have to kind of take that information, not with a grain of salt, and completely just, you know, say, well, whatever he's doing publicly is the opposite of what he's doing privately. We have no idea what he's doing privately. But there is another, there's always an angle of attack that he is playing. We just don't necessarily know what it is, but there's a decent chance that what we think it is may not be what it really is.
Yeah, no. And again, his whole point is, it goes back to the art of the deal. He's a negotiator and he feels that this is a game that he is good at, and he has certainly, whether it's through manipulation or what, I don't know, but he has been, you know, he has amassed pretty decent amounts of money. He's lost pretty decent amounts of money too, but he feels he's a winner at this, and this is the game he wants to play, and we're gonna have to deal with whatever the results are of that. So I think no matter whether you agree with him or you think he's doing all the right things or you think he's doing all the wrong things, or you're thinking what he's doing is legal or it's illegal or whatever, it is what it is. And the reality is, especially as business owners, we have to accept what the playing field looks like and try to figure out how we're going to not get completely broadsided by the masses that are moving around us on that playing field.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I think that can be a challenge in a lot of, I mean, we're emotional beings, right? We're going to get emotional about things. We're going to get angry. We're going to get nervous. We're going to get whatever. But you just hit the nail on the head there. You got to play the hand that you're dealt. You don't get to control a lot of external forces. And you know, I was watching the Masters a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, I love to play golf. I play a lot of golf. I feel like it's representative of life in a lot of ways. But the fact is, you can't control a whole lot of things out there, right? If I'm playing a 500-yard par 5, I would really like for the wind to be at my back. If it's in my face, I can not like it. I can complain about it. I can whatever, but I cannot change it. There's nothing I can do to shift that wind. And I think for business owners, the more you can focus on those things that you can control and try to just don't get emotional and don't make emotional decisions. Take the information that you have, digest it the best you can, and have a plan of attack. When I would play golf a lot, I would have a strategy for if the wind was at my back and a strategy for if it was in my face. I may like one versus the other. I may hope for one versus the other, but it doesn't mean I have any control over it. So that's why you just have to prepare for both sides.
And when you talk to the pros, the golf pros or any other sport, they'll tell you the same thing. The hardest part is not having the strategy. They're all pros, right? So they all have those strategies. The hardest part is in the moment, getting your head out of the emotions of the moment and wanting to fight the fact that there's wind in your face and just go, all right, what's my best club here? What's my best shot at this? What's my best swing for this? And stay focused on on that strategy as opposed to reacting to stuff you have no control over. And I think that's a lot of what I'm trying to say about last time we talked, right? We'd had 3 days of absolute horrific results in the stock market. Everybody's talking about these tariffs are going to be horrible and everything I'm going to buy is going to be, you know, 40% more expensive or 80% more expensive or whatever the tariff is going to be and then some, and I'm going to have to do this and my business is shot, right? Totally get that that's the response and the reaction. And, you know, we were talking about it's great. Ideally, what you wanted to have done is strategically been thinking about, well, what do I do if? But sometimes you can't even think, what do I do it with? I don't think anybody was thinking back when Trump was, you know, before the election and he was elected, thinking, well, what if Donald Trump decides to throw out 20% tariffs across the board or 30% across the board, including our trading partners, the people who are our friends, right? Friends, yeah. Enemies, it doesn't matter. Everybody's going to get whacked with tariffs. I don't think most people really had that in their, oh, I'm going to build a game plan for that, because it's just, look, we can think of all the things we could build game plans for, but that's not a high probability event. So I'm going to focus my energy on the game plans that I think are more likely to happen so that I have those strategies in place. But still, it always comes down to, no matter whether you plan for it or not, it was happening. And the hardest part is to get out of the emotional side of things and go, all right, well, what do I have in my toolkit? How can I respond? How can I do this and not react? And it was really hard 2 weeks ago. And my point is, right now you have had that respite a little bit. So maybe you don't feel quite like you're in the crossfire. It's not a ceasefire, but it's not the just everything's pounding on you every minute of every day, which is stressful. You're in a less stressed moment. So try and gather that up a little bit and start looking. And it's like, all right, what do I have? What tools do I have at my disposal? What would be an appropriate response to this? Do I have a tool that does that? No, I don't have a tool for that. What other tools do I have that maybe I could finagle that would handle that response in a way that isn't going to just shoot me in the foot? You know, every business has its own situations. But I think right now, cooler heads are the ones that need to prevail, because if your business is going to survive, look, every business does fine when the tide's rising, right? We talk about the rising tide floats all boats. You can be a crappy business manager. You can be a really excellent business manager. And really the distinction between the two doesn't make a lot of difference when the rising tide is rising. It's when the tide is falling, as Buffett says, when the tide's falling, you get to see who's wearing underwear and who's not, right? It's like, and the people who are wearing underwear were thinking, well, you know, if I go out on the water, I probably want to be wearing a bathing suit at least. It's like, because you never know, right? And that is going to be the ones that every business has the ability to survive every economic environment. And I know business is not easy, but I've lived through so many of these recessions and other anomalies and events. I've watched great businesses fold in tough times because they stopped being strategic. And I've watched businesses that you would think there is no freaking way that business can survive that event. And yet they come out and they're okay. Why? Because they had a really good business owner behind the scenes who is thinking strategically through it and probably bobbing and weaving and pivoting and doing things that they didn't think they would ever have to do. But they're looking at those issues and those problems in a strategic manner. And they probably did some planning prior to that. But even if they didn't, they're thinking strategically in the tough moments. And that's the difference between a business that will get through the next recession and a business that will be, well, you know, we tried all the right things, but it wasn't working for us.
I have a question that's it can be maybe a little bit tricky to decipher between the two of these, right? So on one side, in the stock market, you have to anticipate what you think is going to happen, because by the time the news hits, the market's already reacted. Yeah. So you have to anticipate. But at the same time, and also on this side of the coin, you do have to prepare and have a strategy for different outcomes. But you mentioned earlier, and I think it's a true point, you can't plan for every possible outcome with in any situation, but especially with Trump and policy. You don't know what he's going to do. So
black swan events, right?
Right. How you, do you plan for every single possible one in a million, you know, potential threat that's out there? You'll go completely nuts. So there's a side of the coin that says, don't try to guess if you don't have to. Wait until you have more information and make a better make your decisions based on fact, not speculation, I suppose is what I'm saying, when you're running a business. And you can do that in the business world as opposed to the stock market. The stock market, you kind of have to anticipate or come up with some type of a hypothesis of what you think is going to happen. But in the business world, you can, in a lot of ways, wait until you have the facts before you make your next move. If you're playing chess, you know, you may want to be thinking about what your opponent's going to do next, but you can't actually make that move until they make theirs, right? You have to react and at one step at a time. So how do you balance that, I guess, a little bit is what I'm saying, because there is some level of anticipation that you need to have for what's going to happen next, yeah, so you're not caught unprepared, but you can't just paralyze yourself with thinking about what ifs all the time.
So one of the phrases I use a lot is the concept of bob and weave or pivoting, right? So the ability, and especially with business owners, but even investment management follows similar concepts. The ability to bob and weave or pivot is really the understanding the tools that you have at your disposal and knowing them. And that comes from having good financials. It has, you know, a good understanding of your financials, but it really is. And a lot of the times when we're doing strategic planning with business owners, it's not really strategic planning the way I think a lot of people perceive. It's like, well, what could happen? This is what we'll do. What could happen there? This is what we'll do. It is the exercise in looking at, well, if something were like this were to happen, what would you do? But we spend, when we're working with clients, a lot of time just saying, all right, how would you approach that scenario? And they will struggle in the early going, especially with, well, I would do this. It's like, is that a reaction or is that a response? What tools are you utilizing? And try to help folks understand the approach, the framework of looking at issues and problems through the lens of, I have tools, I have levers. I don't have that lever over there. I don't have access to it. I can't pull it. I would love to be able to pull it, but I can't just magically create that lever and put it in my hands, right? You've got to know what levers do you have in your hands and what are they high probability likely to do when you pull on them or push on them. And I think retraining our analytical mind, our strategic mind, to think in that framework or that concept is far more helpful than, well, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to go to work and I'm going to try really hard and I'm going to, you know, impress my clients and or customers and I hope it all works out. Hope is not a strategy. It's right. And you can do all the right things. But if strategically you're not pulling on the levers, all the good levers you've got, you may be missing out on an opportunity to get through a tough time. And I think that's probably the biggest lesson that unfortunately we only get a chance to really learn in a more physical way, tangent, you know, a true touch way, when we have times like this, which don't happen all the time. So kudos to the new business owners who are getting a chance to trial by fire and drink through the fire hose, hopefully looking at their businesses with that perspective a little bit more, because it'll make you a way more better business owner.
Yeah, and another element of this if you're a sole proprietor and you're operating a one or two person operation, that's one thing. But a lot of your business owners, you have employees and leadership teams that are looking to you for guidance and for stability. Right. And if you're not paying attention, that's not very
good.
But at the same time, if you're freaking out and overreacting to every single little thing that you see, that's not good either. So that adds even another layer to the cake, I guess, of what you have to, of your responsibilities, because you have to have a cool head so you can make good decisions. But then you also have to be able to portray that confidence to your employees and make sure that you're keeping them focused as well, or next thing you know, you've added another problem, which is now an employee or a workforce that's running around like a chicken with their heads cut off as well.
Oh yeah, freak out is definitely contagious, right? And if it is, when you watch movies or stories of those ship captains, you know, in the hard storms, and or airline pilots, right, who are flying planes in adverse conditions, right? What are some of the characteristics that they all have? They all are calm. I'm sure inside, in the real, maybe not the actor, but I'm sure inside in the real story, that guy is freaking out. But he's trained himself, or that gal, they've trained themselves to say, hey, look, this feels like crap and I don't like it. But at the same point, I got to keep my wits, because if I don't, I know I'll die. And I know not only will I die, everybody else will. So that's really the way – that's what a lot of leadership is really about. And that's where you prove it. You prove it in the tough times. You don't prove it when everything's going great, right? You prove it by walking in and saying, all right, it's tough. Got it. It's tough. Let's figure out what we can do here to make sure that we get through this and we don't get buried or drowned or any other analogy you want to use.
Yeah, I saw a cool new show I'll plug here on Netflix the other night called Timeless, I believe. It's about these people that travel back in time and try to – they're actually chasing – there's somebody has stolen a time machine and they're going back and trying to change history, and they're chasing them down to try to keep them from changing history. It's anyway, not really relevant to anything that we're talking about, except there is a scene where they're getting ready to go into this situation, and one of the characters says to the other – Is it okay that I'm freaking out right now? And he said, yeah, I wouldn't go into battle with you if you weren't. I'd be more afraid if you weren't freaking out. But, right. You know, it's normal to have – it's okay to have those reactions. It's good to have – it's our biology coming to remind us that this is an important situation and we need to be focused. But it's how you manage that. And athletes talk about that a lot, like you said, captains and leaders in a lot of situations. But you have to – you never really – look forward to times to exercise those skills, but when they come along, it can be the proverbial bathing suit below the surface, right? Do you have one or not? You find
definitely
out.
It's the defining moment for a lot of business owners that I've watched go through. You know, you've only been around for a couple of years. You haven't gone through this. And I have lots of business owner friends. So it's like by my lack of hair and the gray that's here, right? I've been around this block a few times and I've watched. And yes, I've gone through it too, but I've also had lots of friends and business owner compatriots and clients. And I've watched the ones that succeed. I watched the ones that failed. I watched the ones that used it as an excuse because they didn't do everything. And I've watched the ones that freaked out and probably got destroyed. And I've watched the ones who weathered the storm. And the consistency is it's amazingly consistent. The ones that are really successful, and the ones that are really successful are the ones that say, I got, it's tough. I am freak. This is really freak out moment. And I'm going to stay calm, cool, collected. I'm going to figure out what I got and I'm going to go after that and do everything I have with what I've got. It's amazing how many of them survive with that attitude. And that's what I would say. Times are tough. This is a good time to see what you're really made of, but make sure you're ready to be no place else and be ready to be in that fight, because whatever it is, it's coming at pretty much every business that's out there.
Yeah. What are the economic indicators that you kind of look at? You mentioned on the last episode that I believe the way you worded it, and I'm not maybe getting it exactly right, is that the probability of a recession is higher now than it was weeks prior. It doesn't mean that it's going to be a recession. You're not calling that necessarily, but you're just acknowledging that based on the factors and the variables that you're looking at, there's a higher probability. And I use that, the example that I used to give clients in that is that when there's a thunderstorm rolling through North Carolina in April, and there is going to be an increased likelihood of tornadoes, okay? That does not mean that we're going to see a tornado. It just means that there's a heck of a lot better chance of seeing one than when it's snowing in December, right? That's just the way it works. So that's – now, it doesn't necessarily mean that it won't happen either. It just means that, you know, higher probability doesn't mean certainty of an event happening, right? But what are some of the things that you're looking at that that cause you to say, okay, the odds are a little higher now than they were, say, 6 months ago?
They're leading indicators, leading economic indicators, and I just kind of watch the whole pot of those that are called leading economic indicators. I do actually spend a fair amount of time and pay pretty close attention to the Atlanta Fed's GDP Now statistic, because I think that their analysis and their data trove, it tends to be more reliable than a lot of the analysts that are just basically going along with what all the other analysts are saying, right? So they seem to be fairly independent. They're definitely saying that there's a pretty good chance of that. Watching just other factors that tend to be precursors to economic downturns, and there are a lot of them. We have already seen for the last several quarters, actually, forward guidance by companies not being as strong or robust as they were, and in some cases being darn right troubling on their forward guidance. Some get a pass, some get taken out back and shot on that forward guidance. And I think that right now we're in one of those really weird stages where Q1 earnings are being reported right now, right, by major companies. And when you think about it, the tariffs weren't part of Q1 earnings. So Q1 earnings, I suspect, will probably come in above our current expectations, because our current expectations are somewhat built on what the tariffs and what we've lived through for the last 3 weeks. So I think people are going to go, oh, well, it wasn't so bad. But watch the forward guidance these companies have, because these CEOs are not dumb, and they go, we see this coming down the pipe, and this is going to be a problem. And the question will be, how does the market respond to that forward guidance? And I suspect the market's going to take a lot of these guys out and shoot them.
Well, it gives us something to talk about, if nothing else, every couple of weeks here. So,
yeah, it sure does.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your time and insights, as always, John. Any business owners out there who would be interested in chatting with John, or if you have questions, John is very knowledgeable and will, I'm sure, be able to point you and guide you in the right direction. You can reach out to him at altuswealth.com and schedule some time to chat with him. John, thank you, my friend, always, and we'll see you here in a couple of weeks now. We're switching to Wednesdays for our recordings, right? So
yeah, we're switching to Wednesdays.
Look forward to seeing you then. Hope you have a good rest of your week.
You bet. Take care.
See you, John.